Our God is merciful. Our God is kind. Our God is loving.
Melvin was a young Christian. He had come to know the Lord as his Savior, and he had gotten involved in a church. And that church that he had gotten involved in had a bunch of younger people, and his group that he was involved in had a good time together. And so a particular Sunday morning, the pastor had preached on the rapture. And Melvin, curious of course, wanting to know more and more about it, asked several different questions about the young men that he were gathered together. So they said, well, let's do this, Melvin. Let's go on a trip. And so they got in their canoes and they went paddling out to a local lake, and they were going to camp overnight. And they were going to fish and they have a good time as guys and just enjoy being around each other and studying the Bible together. And so as they got out to the campsite and began to tell tales and ask questions and tell stories, Melvin was really curious, asking questions about, well, what's going to happen when the rapture takes place? What happens to our bodies? What happens to our clothes and all those kinds of things? And they talked and talked about these things. So sure enough, that night, they were up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning talking about the rapture, talking about what's going to happen and all the things that are going to take place, and they all went to bed. But the guys in the group decided they were going to play a trick on Melvin. They went to bed, and the guys decided, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to change our clothes out, and we're going to use the clothes that we had left over that we came out here, and we're going to take them off, and we're going to put them around the campfire. And then, when Melvin wakes up in the morning, he's going to see our clothes here, but we'll be gone. And so, sure enough, that night when they went to bed, they did that. They got the clothes laid out. They got kept the fire burning. They got the pans and the dishes and everything else, and they kind of laid them by the clothes like they were eating food. And Melvin woke up that morning and stretched and got out of his tent, and he woke up and he saw the clothes there. He saw the utensils there. He saw the fire burning, but he didn't see anybody left. Of course, the guys were some distance away laughing, and Melvin began to shriek. He began to cry. He began to holler. He began to shout, say, wait a minute, God, come get me too. Of course, as he continued to do that, the guys came running down and back into the campsite and said, Melvin, we're just messing with you. Melvin said, you scared me so bad that I had thought that I had never been saved. Now, see, here's the issue of life, brothers and sisters. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to be left behind. Melvin, being a young Christian, he had thought that he missed the rapture. He thought that when he came out and everybody else was gone and he was left, it really freaked him out. What I want to do this morning is I want to show you from the Bible how we can know about the rapture, how we can know what's going to happen in the rapture, and how we can know who's going to be part of that word rapture of the church. So I want you to understand, young people, get your Bibles, and I want you to write these verses down. I want you to take them. I want you to understand what we're going to talk about this morning. This is a key component to the doctrine of the church. The rapture of the church. Open your Bibles up to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now, there's some different things that you need to understand about the word rapture. The word rapture is not found in the Bible. You'll not find the word rapture. The word rapture means a sudden taking away. There's two people in the Old Testament to this takes place. And talks about when they were walking with God, that suddenly they weren't, and God caught them up and brought them to be with Him. So the word rapture is not found, but the principle is found there. The rapture of the church is the sudden taking away of all the believers in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. Everybody who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior will suddenly be gone. Now, there's three different theories about when the rapture will take place. Some people believe that the rapture takes place before the tribulation period, before the 7 years of tribulation. Some people believe that the rapture, the catching away of the church, takes place in the middle of the tribulation, after 3.5 years. Some people believe that the rapture takes place after the tribulation period, when Jesus Christ returns to the earth physically and touches the earth. Three different theories about the rapture when it takes place. We, and myself included, and several people, we believe biblically the rapture takes place before the tribulation. Before the tribulation takes place. Now, in order to believe that, you've got to believe the Bible literally. In other words, we believe the Bible word for word. We believe what the Bible says it means. It's not figurative. All right? For a mid-trib or mid-tribulation rapture, you've got to take the Bible as allegory or take the Bible as just stories about, especially the book of Revelation. To have a post-tribulation rapture, you've got to have the same thought process. See, a lot of post-tribulation people believe that the rapture has already happened. It's already taken place, and that we're right now, we're in the middle of the tribulation period. All right? But I want to show you what the Bible says about the rapture, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and who's going to be taking part of this rapture. So 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we're going to start in verse number 13. We're going to break it down, but we're going to look at the verses together. He says, Paul is writing, he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant. He says, I want you to completely understand, brethren. Circle that word, brethren. Underline that word, brethren. Somehow highlight that word, brethren. He is speaking to believers here. He is not speaking to the world. He is not speaking to those who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. He is speaking to fellow believers. And if he's speaking to fellow believers and you know Jesus Christ your Savior, he is speaking to you and he is speaking to me. All right? He's referring to us. This is not going to take place for everybody. He said this is only going to take place for those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never placed your faith in Him, you will not participate in this. You will be left behind. So when Melvin came out of his tent that morning and he saw the clothes and the dishes, and he said, oh my goodness, I've not been saved. I've not taken part of the rapture. You can imagine how scared he was when that happened. So he says, brethren, understand this. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be understanding of what I'm going to teach you. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now, I preach, this is the passage that I preach a lot of funerals from, and here's the fact of the matter. The word asleep means who have died. I don't believe in soul sleep. There's no such thing as soul sleep. The Bible teaches us that absent from the body, present with the Lord, your soul goes somewhere for eternity. These bodies that we occupy, they're going to die one day. They're going to physically die. But your soul will never die. Your soul will never cease to exist. Either your soul will be with God, or your soul will be in hell. One of the two places. There is no in between. There is no purgatory. There is no place that you go and wait and hope somebody prays you out of. There is no place that you go there and then hopefully your family gives enough money to get you up to the next level. That does not exist. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul is trying to help this church in Thessalonica. Hey, listen to me, folks. If your loved ones and friends have died in the Lord, they're just simply asleep in the Lord. Now, the group of people here in Thessalonica, they were Greeks. Most of them were Greeks. Some of them were Jews that he's speaking to here, but most of them were Greeks. So most of them had never seen Jesus Christ face to face. Most of them had never met him and never experienced him. But he says, listen, I want to teach you some things about those who have died, because he says this. He says, I want to teach you concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. Underline that. He says, I don't want you to sorrow. The rapture is not a thing of sorrow. The rapture is not something to be afraid of. The rapture is not something to be concerned about that you're going to somehow miss out. There is no sorrow about the rapture. It's a joyous, joyous thing. It's a wonderful acknowledgement of what God has promised us. He says, I want you to understand that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So that tells me there's two distinct groups. There's those that have no sorrow, and then there's those that have no hope. How can you have sorrow if you have hope? If you have sorrow, that means you have no hope. And what is that no hope? That there's no hope of eternity. There's no hope of being in God's presence. There's no hope of having peace with God. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no hope. But if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may have some sorrow, but you have hope. You have hope that will never end. He says, I want to teach you this so that you will not have a life without hope. Verse number 14, he says, for if we, who's he referring to? Fellow believers. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? How many of you believe that Jesus died and rose again? That is necessary. It's necessary to believe that to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. If Jesus is not alive, we have no hope. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior, you have no hope. But if you have Jesus Christ your Savior, you have hope. So if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, because of that, them also which sleep in Jesus, those who have died in Christ, will God bring with him. See, they were asking him questions. They were writing him letters. And most likely what was taking place was this church in Thessalonica was writing letters and questions to Paul, giving them to Timothy. Timothy was taking them to Paul, who was in prison. And they were saying, all right, Paul, what happens to our loved ones that have died in you? We keep hearing this story about Jesus coming back, and he promised when he was alive here on earth, he promised that he was going to come back, and he hasn't come back yet. What do? We're scared. We're having our loved ones die. They're being persecuted, and they're being killed. And what's going to happen to them? And Paul writes back, he says, listen, folks, I want to give you a truth about those who have died in Christ. Now look at me for a minute. How many of you have had a loved one or a friend that died in Christ? How many of you have had that before? You said, what do you mean died in Christ? That Christ killed them? No. They knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they died. Paul is writing to them saying, listen, just because they've died physically doesn't mean it's all over. It doesn't mean that you'll never see them again. He says, listen, I want to give you some hope. The worst thing that happens at a funeral of someone you don't know Jesus Christ is their Savior or not, the worst thing is leaving that gravesite with no hope. I remember one particular situation. I was a chaplain with the police department in Fort Walton Beach. And right across the street from us, there was a house that had several people living in it. And there was a lot of activities that were going on there that shouldn't be going on. And one day the police showed up at that house. And they called me and said, hey, we need you to come across the street. And so I walked across the street and they said, listen, one of the people died up here in his attic. And he had overdosed. And his friends were gathered around his body and they were crying and they were upset and were just in anguish. And they were just devastated. They didn't know what to do. And so I tried to comfort them as best I could, you know, saying, hey, it's going to be, you know, and so I said, well, I'm going to pray right now for peace for you guys. And one of the guys grabbed me by the front of my shirt and he said, pray him into heaven. Pray him into heaven. And I said, I can't. I don't do the saving. All I do is the teaching. Jesus does the saving. That was one of the hardest things I ever had to do, was to leave that house and not be able to give those people any comfort and hope that that person was in heaven. Now, I don't know if he wasn't or not. I can't tell you what somebody's soul looks like. But unless you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, I can't pray you into heaven. You can't pray me into heaven. You have to personally trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so Paul, as he's writing these words to the church in Thessalonica, he's saying, listen, you have hope. Because guess what's going to happen, he says in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them, that's those who've died in Christ, which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. So when Jesus returns, those who have died in Christ will come with Jesus. They'll accompany him. Verse 15. For this we say unto you, by my imagination. If your Bible says my imagination, get rid of it. It says this, for this we say unto you, for this teaching I'm teaching you, by the word of the Lord. Underline that right there. This is God's very word. Now you say, now wait a minute. Where did Paul get this authority to tell these things? Where in the world did Paul learn these things? Paul was an apostle, and he met personally with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ taught him for 3 years. In the book of Acts, we find in chapter 20 especially, he talks about for a space of 3 years that Jesus taught Paul these things. And that Paul would go from city to city meeting with the church and teaching them these doctrines so that they could understand. And he would write these things down, and then these letters would go to the churches, and the churches would read these, and that's what they would get, the word of God. So these words that we have in front of us that Paul wrote, by the way, Paul was the author of 2/3 of the New Testament. God gave him these very words so that we could grow in the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, when he wrote these words to Thessalonica, he didn't have any understanding that in 2021 at Victory Baptist Church in Bryson City, North Carolina, that we'd be reading these things. But God did. And as God gave Paul these words to write down, we're reading them in the English language so that we can have understanding of what's getting ready to take place. So he says, if you believe this, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, this applies to you. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, verse 15, that we, there's that word we again, it's not French. We means us. Y'all, usins, youins, meins, all of y'all here in the South, we which are alive. How many of you are alive? Most of you. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to take place and they're going to be left behind. He says, the coming of the Lord, when Jesus returns for his church, we're not going to go up alone. There's not a thing that's going to happen to us that's not going to happen to them. See, remember, their sorrow is because of the fact they've had loved ones who have died trusting Christ. They've been believing what Paul's saying, that Jesus is going to return for the church. And they've died. And the people are like saying, oh, wait a minute. If they've died and we're still alive, what's going to happen to them? And Paul says, listen, when this takes place, there's nothing that's going to happen to you that's not going to happen to them. But what about those who have been cremated? What about those who have died in explosions? What about those who have died in war? What about those who have turned to ash nowadays? What happens to them? Well, let's look what the Bible says. It says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or present or go before without them which are asleep." That means asleep in the Lord. "For the Lord himself," God personally oversees this. He doesn't send somebody else to do this. "He himself returns for us." The Lord himself. Praise God that Jesus takes care of this himself. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." So where is Jesus right now? Where is he? I'm getting all kinds of answers. He's at the right hand of the Father. And where is that? In heaven. The word rapture means catching up. The word rapture does not mean going down. The word rapture means coming up, catching up. So Jesus, at the right hand throne of the Father, is going to leave that position, and he's going to come, and he's going to catch us up. And who is us? Who is you-ins? Who is y'all? The church, the believers in Jesus Christ. He's going to catch us up. It says, "For the Lord himself," he doesn't send anybody else, "the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Woo! I don't know what it's going to sound like, but it is not going to be, "All right, y'all, come on." That's not what it's going to be. "Hey, y'all, let's go." Now, that being the south. Up north, it'll be, "Hey, you-ins." Out west, it's, "Hey, if y'all want to come, come on." I don't know what it's going to sound like, but it's going to be a shout. It's going to be an attention getter. You're going to know about it. How many of you used to grow up and you knew it was time to come home with your mom or dad stood out on the porch and yelled your name? How many of you knew that? It was time to come home. That's what it's going to be. You're going to know. I remember a group of us used to play football down the street, and then the lights would come on and the parents would walk out, and then my neighbor, they would call their kids. I didn't go because I didn't belong to them. They would go. My dad and my mom would say, "Get out, stand out," and say, "Call our names," and we would head to the house because they were calling me home. That's what this is going to be. Jesus is going to be calling those who belong to him. If you don't belong to him, this call won't be for you. If you don't belong to him, this call won't be for those folks who don't know him. This is for those who belong to him. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Wow. It's going to be a wonderful noise. What a wonderful tune that's going to be. I don't know exactly what it's going to sound like. I don't know if it's going to be in G, F, M, Z, Q. I have no idea what it's going to be in. But I know it's going to be distinct. And I know it's going to be from Jesus Christ himself. And I know we ain't going to miss it. And it says this, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." See, it answers their question. What about those who've died in Christ? What happens to them? Paul answers and says, listen, when Christ returns for the church, those who have died will rise first. Where are they going to rise from? The graves, the sea, the urns, Fontana Lake. Some of you go to Decoration Sundays around here. Y'all go out there and place flowers commemorating loved ones who have passed away. If it's even possible, I don't think we'll see it, but if it was even possible for us to be out there on the lake that day and the rapture takes place, you're going to see a movement. You're going to see something coming up out of the water. those ashes that are in urns on your mantle, something's going to happen. The battlefields, the seas, the dead in Christ shall rise. And you say, Brother Brian, do you really think literally that's going to happen? I interpret the scriptures literally. They're going to rise first. It doesn't say they're going to descend first. It says they're going to rise first. They're going to be caught away. And then he says this. He says, then we, there's that we word again. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who is them? The dead in Christ. It says we shall be caught up together with them in where? The clouds. That's very key. Underline that. The clouds. You say, well, Brother Brian, why is that so important? All right. The first advent, that means the first touching of the earth by Christ himself, came when he was born physically on the earth. That's the first advent. The second advent, when Jesus Christ literally returns to the earth, will take place after the tribulation period. Jesus will literally step forth onto the earth and rule and reign in Jerusalem. This says that we're going to meet Jesus Christ in the air, in the clouds. So all you meteorologists, where are the clouds? In the sky. This is not Christ's second advent. This is not him coming back to the earth yet. This is an in-between. This happens before he comes back. And when does he come back? At the end of the tribulation period. So right there, if somebody believes that the rapture takes place at the end of the tribulation period, if they believe that, then that blows it completely out of the water. This takes place before the tribulation period even begins. So we're caught up together with them in the clouds, and we get to see who? We get to see our loved ones who have died in Christ. Can you imagine that reunion day in the clouds? Wow. Now, are you saying literally, Brother Brian, that there's going to be clouds and we're going to be meeting our loved ones there in the clouds? Yes. Where's your authority? Right here. Remember, Paul says, by the word of the Lord. It says that we will meet them together in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. In the clouds. Are we going to be weightless? Well, apparently we are. It doesn't say we come back down after this. It doesn't say, hey, we're going to get in the clouds and all of a sudden we're going to be raining bodies again. It says we go up, the dead in Christ go up first, then we go and we meet them in the clouds, in the air, in the stratosphere. Jeff Bezos, they just got through auctioning off, I think, 45 seconds? I can't remember the exact time. $28 million was raised yesterday for Jeff Bezos and all them, for one person to bid $28 million to spend 25 seconds in space. $28 million. I can't remember, maybe 45 seconds, whatever. Guess what? We get a free trip to space. We don't pay for that, man. The dead in Christ rise first, and then we go and we meet them in the clouds. What a reunion. Your grandmas and your grandfathers and your aunts and your uncles and your friends and all the... What? My goodness! What a reunion that's going to be! But then it gets even better. It says that we shall meet the Lord in the air. Wow. We will meet the Lord in the air. And then it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, right now, the Lord is with us because we have the Holy Spirit. He's with us. But one day, we'll see Him face to face. We're going to behold Him. We're going to see the scars. But we're going to see His glory. We're going to see Him face to face. Now, come on, Brother Brian. You really expect me to believe that? It's up to you whether you believe it or not. But it says it right here. Amen? And then Paul says, comfort one another with these words. These words are not meant to frighten you. These words are not meant to discourage you. These words are meant to comfort you. That means you get to see your spouses, some of you again. You get to see your loved ones, your mom and daddy, your aunt, your uncle, your kids, your neighbors, your friends. That ought to bring you comfort. Ought to bring you peace. But you get to see Jesus. That's the greatest comfort that I can give you on the authority of the Word of God. Now, who's going to be part of this? Let me show you real quick who's going to be part of this. Go to Revelation chapter number 6. Let me show you who's going to be part of this. Revelation chapter number 6. Revelation chapter number 6. John is writing what he saw personally. See, what happens to those who have died in Christ? Do they simply go to sleep somewhere? Do they simply just kind of float out in nothingness? Well, no. Look what the Bible says about what happens to them. Revelation chapter number 6, verse number 9, he's talking about the seals that are opened up and all those kind of things that takes place. But he says in verse number 9 of chapter number 6, he says this, and when he had opened the fifth seal, talk about with the angels, I saw, John physically saw, under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. The souls of them. So the souls that had died during the tribulation period, he sees their souls. Now, how in the world can you see a soul up in heaven? Because the eyes that you have here are nothing compared to what you're going to get in heaven one day. The souls that were in heaven that he was talking about were souls that he understood who they were. What would your soul look like? How old will that soul be? Will it be male and will it be female? Well, that's going to be another message some other time. But John saw these souls. And how did he know that they were souls and they were alive? And he says, he saw the souls of them were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice. So they were shouting, they were crying with a loud voice. That means they were very cognizant of things that were taking place. The question is, Brother Brian, do people who have died in Christ see what's going on? Yes, they do. Your loved ones and friends that know Christ as their Savior, they see what's taking place. And it says that they were crying to God with a loud voice and saying, oh God, how long until we're avenged? How long until you take judgment on those who have done this to us? How long? So it tells me that the souls are in heaven, they're alive. And it tells me that they see what's taking place up there in heaven right now. But who all is that going to include? Go to chapter number 7. Let me show you. Chapter number 7. It tells us who this includes. Revelation chapter 7, verse number 9. He says this. And for this I beheld, John says, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. That means this is going to be a lot of people that he sees. He saw a number of people that he couldn't even number. He couldn't even begin to place a number on them. Kind of like looking into the stars. When you look into the stars, you can't begin to number them. They're just there. He says, and I saw a great number, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues. It doesn't say only Baptists were there. It doesn't say only white people were there. It doesn't say only North Carolinians were there. It says every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue was represented there in heaven. Now you say, Brother Brian, why is that so important? That's why we have missionaries. The missionaries that we support overseas and local, they're reaching people that we'll never see. And one day you'll see them. Because they'll be there. Even though you've never met them here, you'll see them. So they're alive, and we see that there's lots and lots and lots of them. What a reunion that's going to be up there in heaven. Let me show you one other passage, and we'll be closed this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you know my famous line, it comes right before 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, another description that Paul writes to a different church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 50. He says these words. Now this I say, brethren, speaking to fellow believers, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery, something that we can't quite comprehend, but it's going to happen. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we're not all going to die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. He says, in the twinkling of an eye. How fast is that? Faster than you can even comprehend. Boom! Let me ask you, are you ready? Well, Brother Brian, I like it on this earth too much. I got too much living to do. Many things that I want to do before this takes place. Listen, I understand. But don't get so caught up in this world that you forget what we're really here for. Now let me help you understand something, and it's probably the worst thing that I'm going to say to you all day long. Some people are so caught up in their own little worlds, doing their own little thing, and they've got their ticket to heaven punched, and they've trusted Christ as their Savior, but they really don't care about anybody else. They could care less if their neighbor dies and goes to hell. They could care less if that person down the street misses the rapture. They don't care about their family members. Let them make it their own way. Now, I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about those who aren't here. But the problem is, some people don't care. May I ask you, what's it going to take for you to start caring? What's it going to take for you to tell people this message the authority of the Word of God. I've given it to you, and I encourage you to go home and study it even more. What's it going to take for you to care to tell them? We say, Brother Brian, I tell them and they reject me. Okay. But I'm telling you, you give out the Word of God and it will never return void. In other words, you give out the Word of God and it's God's responsibility to take that Word and to apply it to people's lives. But give it out. Now everybody look up here, I'm done. But look up here, everybody, just look at me for just a moment, okay? Look me in eyeball to eyeball. Now that you know the truth, what are you going to do with it? It's now up to you what you do with what you've read. It should make a difference. It should make you joyful if you know Christ is your Savior. Hallelujah! I know I woke the dead this morning. It should make a difference. It should bring you joy that you'll see your loved ones and friends again. What I'm hoping also is that those who don't know Christ as their Savior, it will cause you to want to know Christ as your Savior. And then it will cause us to go and tell others. When is this going to happen, Brother Brian? When is this going to take place? If I knew that, man, I'd make lots of money. But I'm not God. I don't know. But I can promise you this. It's going to happen. And when it happens, there's going to be no doubt what has happened. Unless you believe the alien catching away theory. But if that happens and you're still here, aliens didn't get me. Jesus did. And all of God's people said, amen. Let us pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you that you are faithful and you've never stopped being faithful. Lord, the words that we have read this morning ought to bring us comfort and peace. They ought to cause us to want to know more about you. They ought to cause us to want to tell others about this. Lord, I don't know when this is going to take place. It could happen today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now. I don't know. But I'm trusting you that it's going to happen, and when it happens, that I'll be part of it. But Lord, unfortunately, not everybody will. There's some who deny it. There's some that say it doesn't even exist. And Lord, I pray for those souls right at this very moment that you would draw them to you and they would trust Christ as their Savior before it's eternally too late. I look forward to seeing my grandmothers, my friends, my relatives, and meet them in the clouds and see you face to face. When that's going to happen, I don't know, but I know it's going to. And that brings me comfort. So, Father, help us to learn from this, draw closer to you through it, and, Lord, to understand what you have called us to do. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, next week, we're going to look at what takes place immediately after the rapture for the church.